Right now in this portion of Vocal Point, we are going to talk with Micaiah Bilger, who writes articles for lifenews.com, a wonderful website that really informs people on the whole issue of abortion and also euthanasia. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point. And Micaiah, it's great to have you back on the program. Thank you for joining us.
Sure. Thanks so much for having me back.
Sure. Well, the first story I want to ask you about, you had written recently about how, this is the title, hundreds of members of Congress tell Supreme Court overturn Roe v. Wade. And here's the first part of what you said. More than 200 federal lawmakers asked the U.S. Supreme Court recently to consider overturning the infamous abortion decision Roe v. Wade in an amicus brief signed by 39 U.S. senators and 168 U.S. House members, including two Democrats. The brief addresses the upcoming abortion case, June Medical Services versus Gee, according to The Hill. And I believe that is a Louisiana-based case. Go ahead and tell us about this story. It's very interesting.
Sure. Yeah, it's very encouraging to see so many of our federal lawmakers standing up and saying Roe versus Wade was a bad decision. It led to the deaths of 61 million unborn babies, and the Supreme Court should reconsider it. That's excellent news to start the new year. The Supreme Court is scheduled in March to hear an abortion case. It's being very, very closely watched, especially after President Trump appointed two conservative justices to the Supreme Court. So there's now a conservative majority on the court. So pro-lifers are hopeful that, you know, maybe they will either reverse or revise Roe versus Wade to allow at least some limits or on abortion, if not, you know, outright ban it. We'll see. But it's interesting. You know, we'll see the arguments in March. This Louisiana case involves a law that it's basically an abortion clinic regulation, a safety regulation. It requires abortionists to have hospital admitting privileges. People might wonder, well, what's that? What's that have to do with, you know, abortion? But basically, it's saying that they need to have these admitting privileges. So if a patient, a woman, has an emergency complication or something, that abortionist can follow her to the hospital and continue to give her treatment there. It's really about protecting the life of the woman as well. And it really shows that the abortion industry doesn't really care about women. We know it doesn't care about unborn babies, but the fact that it's fighting these regulations that basically just help to ensure safety for one life, if not two, they're not even willing to protect women in this basic way by making sure that if she does experience an emergency complication, that they can treat her and treat her well at a local hospital. So the Supreme Court's going to be hearing this, whether to uphold this law, but really it's a bigger issue too surrounding abortion. So we'll see what happens.
Okay. Now, first of all, you mentioned that there are two Democrats from the House of Representatives that signed on to this amicus brief, meaning a friend of the court brief. I assume one of those is the guy from Dan Lipinski, I think is his name, from Chicago. And he's a friend of Eric Schidler, who's a strong pro-lifer, and we've interviewed him multiple times on this. But I saw how Dan Lipinski, the congressman, is going to be, on the one hand, he's going to be marching at the Chicago Right to Life in the cold. And on the other hand, I saw that the mayor of Chicago is saying, oh, this guy needs to be ousted, even though he served eight terms. Because, you know, our big tent is not big enough to include those who are anti-choice, you know, something to that effect.
Yes, we're hearing more and more of that from Democratic leaders that pro-lifers aren't welcome. Dan Lipinski has been a wonderful advocate for life in the Democratic Party for many years in Congress. He's one of the last pro-life Democrats in Congress.
Wow.
The other congressman who signed the brief asking for Roe versus Wade to be reconsidered was Representative Colin Peterson, who's from Minnesota. I don't know his record quite as well, but the fact that the two of them, really, they were brave because their party is calling for the exact opposite. And so they're standing up to party leaders and saying, you know, unborn babies deserve a right to life. Roe versus Wade was wrong. And it takes a lot of courage, especially in this political climate, as as divisive as it has become, for these two congressmen to stand up and say, you know, unborn babies deserve rights.
Now, your article, your article mentioned that in 2016, the Supreme Court struck down a similar law based out of Texas. What was the difference between the two? I mean, other than the makeup of the court.
It's kind of a complicated legal issue in some ways. Basically, there was a court split where there is one court that said the law in Texas basically constituted an undue burden on women's access to abortion. Now, another court, the Fifth Circuit, looked at the Louisiana law, and the Fifth Circuit said, no, this isn't an undue burden. It said, I'm trying to remember if it was in the Fifth Circuit Court opinion or not, but basically said the abortionists didn't even really try to get these hospital admitting privileges, or they didn't make a good effort. So it's not that the state's burdening women's access to abortion, it's that the abortion industry isn't even really trying to comply with these regulations. So it's something that the members of Congress, pro-lifers, and so many others are saying that this issue really needs to be looked at. Roe versus Wade has gone on so long and has allowed so many extremes, even striking down basic common sense safety regulations, that it's gone too far. So we're really hoping that the Supreme Court will agree with that and say, yeah, this has gone too far, and states should be allowed to protect women and protect babies.
Good. All right. We're finished basically with that story. Let's look at another story that you wrote about. Pro-life mom beats half marathon world record while pushing her baby in a stroller. That was from early December of 2019. And you tell about this lady who was 36-year-old mother from Arkansas, and she was running the Route 66 half marathon in November. And boy, what a record. An hour, 23 minutes, and 23 seconds. You know, I tell you the truth, I have, quote unquote, run multiple half marathons, and I would be ecstatic to be under 2 hours and 23 minutes and 23 seconds. But she did this pushing a stroller, I understand, and she might even go on to compete at a higher level and so forth. Tell us about this.
Yeah, her name is Julia Webb, and she's a pro-life mom, and she's really amazing. She pushed her baby girl, Gabby, for this whole half marathon. From what I understand, the Guinness Book of World Records is still reviewing her achievement, but it sounds like she will be making that record. But I guess it's still in the process of finalization. But I love her dedication. And the reason that she did this is because of her, pro-life beliefs. She told Good Morning America that she wanted to show that women can accomplish their goals and be moms. There's so much negativity toward motherhood in the world today. It's really sad. God gave women this beautiful gift of motherhood, and abortion and other things have really made it into a negative thing and a horrible thing. And Julie said, you know, I want to make this into something positive and show that, you know, women can, and children are valuable. And so she ran this race, and she did it as part of a group called Life Runners, which is an international pro-life group of athletes, and they use their sport to support babies and moms, to spread the pro-life message, and to raise funds to help moms and babies in need as well. So it was just amazing to see her do that.
I saw one time at I've done the Naples half a few times. I'm very slow, by the way, but I remember seeing somebody with a T-shirt, and there was more than just one person that had this team shirt, and it said Team 413. So, 4:13. So I went up to one of those persons. I said, can I ask what that stands for? And they said, oh, well, actually, it's based on a Bible verse. And I said, oh, Philippians? As in, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And they, you know, their eyes lit up. Yeah, exactly. And I said, oh, cool. So anyway, you never know. All right. That's an interesting story. Now let's turn on to another story here that you wrote. And this is, about a doctor, a young doctor who was being persecuted and prosecuted in the country of South Africa for taking a common sense pro-life stance. Tell us about this.
Sure. It's really kind of frightening what's happening to Jacques DeVos. He's a young man who I've been covering his story a couple of years now. He was finishing medical school in 2016. And he was counseling a young woman, who was pregnant, about, I think, 19 weeks pregnant, and was counseling her about, you know, her unborn baby. He was telling her, you know, her baby is alive and a human being. And for doing that, he is now being prosecuted by the Health Council of South Africa. He's been unable to actually become a doctor or work as a doctor as a result of basically telling this woman the truth about her child. South Africa, from what I understand, I'm learning more and more about it as I'm reporting on his story, has some very, very extreme pro-abortion laws. Even more so, I think, than the United States. And basically, they're accusing him of biased counseling, even though he, you know, this is a scientific fact that a baby in the womb is a human being from conception. And so recently, just in December, there were two of the charges dropped against him. Hmm. But what's been happening, and I think their government, I don't understand all with the South African government, it seems like there might be some corruption going on. But they have been pushing off his trial and pushing off his trial for years now. This has been 4 years now. So I think there's a lot of frustration with him and his lawyers for just, you know, defending, you know, basically the right to tell your patients the truth. And it looks like maybe the government's realizing they don't have a case against him, and that's why they keep on pushing this trial back. But it's really a sad, sad story that he's even being prosecuted just for telling a young woman that her baby is a baby. And that's just basic science. It's not a religious belief. It's not, it's science.
Okay, we have about a minute left. I understand the country has a shortage of doctors, but who is suing who? Was he suing them in order that he could become a doctor despite this? Or was it that, go ahead.
Sure. No. He is being prosecuted by basically the government health board.
Wow.
He's been unable to get his doctor's license as a result of this. He's been basically for 4 years been unable to practice medicine, which is his livelihood. So that's been affected as well. He can't make a living as a doctor. And now because his trial is being pushed back and pushed back, he's just kind of in the waiting game and helpless. So, there's a lot of things going on with this case. It's really a real injustice toward this young man who wants to be a doctor, wants to save lives and tell women the truth that their babies are valuable, that they're human beings, and abortion kills a life.
Yeah. Well, as you point out in the article, quote unquote, now pro-life doctors are being persecuted simply for telling the truth. Again, this is in South Africa, but a lot of times what happens in these other countries makes its way to America, or in some cases, bad stuff from America makes its way to other countries. Lifenews.com for more information. Micaiah, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me.